turned onto her side to face away from him, and her chest shook. Damn it, she was crying. He lowered his hands toward her before hesitating. Would his touch help her or make it worse? Fuck it. He had to do something. He couldn't let her cry like this. Tears gutted him like nothing else. He wrapped himself around her. When she tried to shrink away, he held her tighter. What the hell? It had just been one button. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. What happened? Did someone hurt you? Is that why you tensed up on me? The thought of someone assaulting her sent a murderous rage through Michael's brain, and adrenaline spiked, preparing him for a superb ass-kicking. She dug her palms into her eyes. No one hurt me. I'm just like this. Can you please continue and establish the baseline?
Stella, you're trembling and crying.
He stroked tear-soaked tendrils away from her face. She scrubbed at the moisture and took a hard breath. No more crying.
Other men had sex with you when you were like this?
He strove to sound gentle, but the words came out harsh. The thought of some asshole sweating over her while she was pale and terrified made his fists itch. Three.
Goddamned piece of shit asshole.
His words dried up when she turned around to face him with a wounded expression.
No, I'm not talking about you. You're not the problem. It's those men. Me.
A wrinkle formed between her eyebrows and he smoothed it out with a fingertip.
You need someone to go slow with you.
You have been going slow with me. The others were done by now.
I don't want to hear about the others,
he bit out. She looked away and held the folds of her shirt together. What now? Michael had no idea. Whatever it was, it had to be ultra slow. He looked around the hotel suite for inspiration, and a large TV mounted on the wall across the bed grabbed his attention.
A movie and cuddling. We can try for the baseline afterward.
Her face became pained. I don't really like cuddling.
You can't be serious.
All women were suckers for it. Even he liked cuddling. At least, he had back before he'd started escorting. Cuddling with clients was something he tolerated at best. But his instincts told him this was something she needed. I might like it with you, I suppose. It's your smell, I think. Your body wages biological warfare on me.
So you're saying I'm your Achilles heel?
He kind of liked the sound of that. They'd never see each other after tonight, but maybe she'd remember him. He knew he'd remember her. Instead of smiling, as he thought she would, she searched his face. She looked into his eyes for a split second before she got out of bed and padded to the bathroom. After several moments inside, she returned wearing her glasses and holding his now neatly folded T-shirt. She set it on the nightstand, picked up the remote, and sat on the far edge of the bed, turning the TV on. As she flipped through the viewer guide, her expression was cool with concentration. Dressed in professional business attire, she could have been at a board meeting, but for the tangled, finger-swept state of her hair. What do you want to watch? Her sudden distance shouldn't have bothered him, but it did. He wanted her back the way she'd been before.
No K-drama, please. My sisters forced me to watch with them so they can laugh when I cry.
Her reserve melted as her lips curved and everything was right again. Do you really?
Who wouldn't? People die left and right. There are huge misunderstandings. That super cute pregnant heroine got hit by a car.
Her smile widened, though it looked almost shy. That one is my favorite. How about something with more action and less drama? The movie page for Ip Man, one of the best martial arts flicks ever, covered the screen.
You don't have to watch this just for me.
She rolled her eyes and hit the purchase button. Wait, Michael said, taking the remote from her and pausing the film.
There's one more thing.
What's that?
You need to take your clothes off.
Stella clawed at the unbuttoned folds of her shirt, feeling like the walls were closing in on her. Why? She asked.
Why not?
Because she preferred being dressed, needed the tight restriction of fabric to feel safe, because she didn't like her body.
because every time she was naked with a man, he ended up using and discarding her. She wet her dry lips and said the most basic truth. I'm not used to it. Also, she was exhausted. So many new things had happened tonight. She felt shell-shocked. She desperately wanted to go home. But that would be pure cowardice. She was on a mission. Once she decided on something, she was just as single-minded as her mother. And her mascot, the pugnacious honey badger. When his only response was the raise of an eyebrow, she asked, "Do you honestly think it will help?" "I do." He propped the pillows up, kicked the covers down, and made himself comfortable. He looked so beautiful lying back against the pillows that for a moment, Stella felt like she'd walked into a magazine cover. The shadows and light loved the striking lines of his face, the sharp edges of his man's body, and the dragon tattoo. It was difficult to believe she'd mussed his hair to such sexy perfection. Even more difficult to believe that the place he'd reserved next to him was for her. Drawing her shoulders back, she stood up and brought cold fingers to the buttons of her shirt. As the plackets came undone, her heart rate accelerated. Silence roared in her ears like jet engines preparing for takeoff. A film of sweat made the shirt adhere to her skin. After she tugged it free of her skirt and peeled it off, she shivered. She could feel the weight of his eyes on her newly naked skin, and her hands fumbled on the side zipper of her skirt. Her fingers were so stiff, it took 3 attempts before the small metal clasp came free. The skirt pooled around her ankles, leaving her in nothing but a simple flesh-toned bra and matching panties. Eyes on the wall, she said, "Maybe I should have gotten better lingerie. Mine are all like this." He cleared his throat before asking, "They're all that same color?" "It's the most functional color." She winced at how boring she sounded, and hazarded a glance in his direction. But he didn't look put out by her underwear choices. Maybe some of his clients preferred granny panties. Those had a definite time and place. At least she wasn't wearing those right now. "You can leave those on if you want. I'm here for you, Stella. Don't forget you have the final say on everything we're doing." Her stomach untightened a fraction, and she adjusted her glasses and nodded. After draping her clothes on the nightstand next to his folded T-shirt, which she'd spent a good minute covertly breathing in like rubber cement inside the bathroom, she crawled onto the bed and sat next to him. He eased an arm behind her and pulled her close so their sides came flush together. "Rest your head against my shoulder." Once she did as he bid, he unpaused the movie. The opening credits rolled, and the dramatic theme music played. She couldn't focus, even though it was Donnie Yen, and in her mind, he was better than Jackie Chan, Chow Yun-Fat, and Jet Li put together. She was on the verge of hyperventilating, and her muscles were so tense, she was one large impending Charlie horse. Michael ran his hand up her sweat-misted arm and stared down at her with concerned eyes. "Are you too hot? Do you want me to turn the AC on?" Her chest constricted. "I'm sorry. I can shower." She rocked forward to get up, but he stopped her, wrapping his arms tightly around her and settling her over his lap. Their skin was touching everywhere, her cheek on his chest, his arms around her shoulders, her side to his front. And she was achingly conscious of the dampness of her perspiration. He had to think she was disgusting. She squeezed her eyes shut as she tolerated the embrace. She didn't know how much more of this she could take. "Relax, Stella," he whispered. "I don't mind sweat, and I like holding you. Watch the movie. He's about to have his first fight." He clasped one of her hands in his, interlaced their fingers, and held on with firm pressure. As he pretended to watch the movie, she somehow sensed she had his full attention. She stared down at their hands, noting the contrast of his tanned olive skin against her own. Like the rest of him, his hands were beautiful works of art, with long fingers and strong veins on their backs. She frowned as her palm registered the scrape of calluses. She found his free hand and opened it up,
One large callus covered the base of his palm, while three smaller ones decorated the space beneath his middle, ring, and pinky fingers. She traced her fingertips over the hard patches of skin. What are these from? She couldn't imagine how escorting gave him calluses like this.
They're sword calluses.
You're kidding. That lopsided grin stretched over his mouth.
Kendo. Actual sword fighting is nothing like in the movies, though. Don't get too excited.
Are you good at it?
I'm okay. It's just for fun.
She couldn't quite see him kicking ass with a face so pretty, but she had to admit the idea thrilled her. Can you do the splits?
It's my secret talent.
I'd think sword fighting was your secret talent.
I have many,
he said, running a fingertip down the bridge of her nose before lightly pinching her chin. What are they? He merely smiled and fixed his gaze on the TV.
Watch. It's getting to the part where he lays down the smack.
It was on the tip of her tongue to ask the question again, but she knew that was rude. He'd purposely refrained from answering. She realized then she knew almost nothing about him. Before, he'd said he only scheduled Friday nights. That left a whole lot of time for another life. What did he do when he wasn't escorting? Aside from martial arts. Or did he train and work out all day? 7 days a week? Maybe he did precisely that. You didn't get a body like his doing nothing. He could be one of those guys who woke up at dawn, swallowed 5 raw eggs, and ran stadiums. It was definitely worth it if he did, unless he got salmonella. As pictures of him punching frozen slabs of meat flitted through her head, she forgot she was mostly naked. Her breathing evened out, and her body unwound. The pressure of his arms stayed firm, compressing and comforting, and the extraordinary events of the day caught up with her. His smell, the steady rhythm of his heart, and the low volume of Eatmon spanking his opponents lulled her to sleep. Chapter 5 Stella's eyes shot open, and she took in the bright interior of the hotel room. After groping at the surface of the nightstand, she found her glasses. The digital clock read 9:24 a.m. Her heart lurched. She'd slept in. She never slept in. When she sat up in bed, the blankets fell to her waist, and cool air touched her bare skin. She was wearing yesterday's underclothes. Alarm sirens wailed in her head as she realized she'd completely skipped her night routine. She hadn't flossed, brushed, showered, and put on pajamas. She had stuffed a dirty body into these clean sheets. Well, they were definitely dirty sheets now. Good thing she didn't have to sleep in them again. Michael stepped out of the bathroom, freshly showered with a white towel around his lean hips. His tattoo looked particularly sexy in the light of day. He grinned around his toothbrush.
Morning.
She clapped a hand over her mouth. Her breath had to be rancorous. He strode casually across the room and dug through a small overnight bag he must have retrieved from his car. It hadn't been with him last night. As he extracted fresh clothes from the bag, Stella watched the fluid bunch and play of the intricate muscles on his back, admired the twin grooves at the base of his spine. She wanted to touch her fingertips to those dents. Then she wanted to take the towel off and...
It stops on my right thigh,
he said, glancing at her over his shoulder. It? What was it? Blinking furiously to clear her mind, she noticed that his tattoo wrapped around his hip, disappeared beneath the towel, and peeked out behind his knee. The dragon had wound itself around his torso and one of his legs. She imagined she'd be doing the same thing throughout the course of their arrangement, which they still needed to discuss. She parted her lips to speak, but the chalkiness of her mouth overwhelmed her. She jumped out of bed, only then remembering she was all but naked, grabbed the first article of clothing she saw, his white t-shirt from yesterday, and sprinted to the bathroom as she yanked it over her head. Once inside, she lunged for her floss, and ran the thread between all of her teeth. Twice. When nothing heinous came free, she breathed a sigh of relief and went about brushing at a more sedate pace.
He entered the bathroom and she stepped aside so he could spit into the sink, feeling horribly self-conscious with toothpaste foaming from her mouth. Why couldn't she look sexy like him when she brushed her teeth? After rinsing out his mouth and patting it dry with a hand towel, he leaned toward her and kissed her cheek. He smelled of hotel soap, minty toothpaste, and himself. That elusive scent still clung to him. She supposed it emanated from his pores. Lucky him. Lucky her. As she continued brushing her teeth, keeping her eyes awkwardly glued to the bubbles in the sink, he left the bathroom. Pausing mid-brush, she heard it, the rustle of fabric. He was getting dressed. That meant he was naked. Without a qualm, she rushed to the doorway and peered out. Her lungs depressed when she saw him pulling clean jeans over his boxers. He yanked on a tight black t-shirt and sat down to pull on black socks. He had to be leaving soon. She hurried to finish brushing her teeth and caught him just as he tied his last shoelace. "We have to talk," she said. The look on his face as he straightened in the chair made her stomach bottom out. He was going to back out. Last night had been a fiasco filled with panic attacks and fear sweat, and he wanted nothing to do with her now. She tightened her lips when they threatened to tremble. It had been bad, but there had been good parts, hadn't there? She'd thought she had a chance.
"I have something at 10 I shouldn't miss."
He stood, looped the strap of his bag over his shoulder, and walked to her with a loose stride. His eyes were heartbreakingly kind as he looked at her. Or was it pity? She hated pity. "I need you to tell me if we're moving forward with the lessons or not." He shook his head with a sad smile.
"I'm afraid not. I'm sorry."
Her heart plummeted, but she couldn't bring herself to regret last night. He'd gotten her to kiss him, really kiss him, not lie there and cringe as he stuck his tongue in her mouth. "I'll leave you another 5-star review."
"I don't deserve it. I never sealed the deal. The agency doesn't issue refunds. But I'd be happy to return my share of the commission. Give me your account."
No refund," she said firmly. "Thanks, but no. I'm sure you had to work harder with me than most of your other clients."
"Not really, no."
She interlaced her fingers and stared down at the floor. She did not want to ask this, but she had to. "I know you need to go, but first, could you recommend a colleague who you think would work well with me?"
"After last night, you still want to go forward with these crazy lessons?"
"They're not crazy, but yes, I plan to move forward." She forced her eyes up to his stony face and took a determined breath. "Maybe if you think about it a while, you'll remember someone who's patient, like you, and doesn't mind sweat or..." He took a half step toward her, and his jaw worked for a moment before he said,
"Girls like you don't need escorts. Girls like you have boyfriends. You need to get this idea out of your head."
Burning anger pulsed through her body, immobilizing her. He didn't know anything about girls like her. "That's completely untrue. Girls like me intimidate boyfriends away. Girls like me have never been asked out by a single boy. Girls like me have to find their own way, make their own luck. I've had to fight for every success in my life, and I'm going to fight for this. I'm going to get good at sex, and then I'll finally be able to entice the right person into being mine."
"Stella, it doesn't work that way. You don't need these lessons."
"I don't agree with you. Please, think about it. I trust your judgment." She rushed to her purse, extracted a business card, and scrawled her cell number on the back. Placing it in his hand, she said, "I'd really appreciate it. Thank you." He stuffed the card into his back pocket with a hard jab of his hand.
"What will you do if I don't give you a name?"
She shrugged. "My selection process was pretty good the first time around. I'll just go through the escort listings again."
"Do you know how many crack jobs there are in there? It's not safe."
He lifted a hand like he wanted to touch her, but fisted and withdrew it instead. "Are you saying your agency's guarantee of safety is meaningless?"
He growled in frustration and raked his fingers through his damp hair, making it stand on end.
There's a vetting process with psych evals and background checks, but people can slip through the cracks. I don't want you to get hurt.
Stella tipped her chin up. I'm not stupid. I have a taser.
You have what?
She snatched the pink C2 taser from her purse and handed it over.
Holy hell. Do you even know how to use it?
He stared at it with eyes so rounded, she would have laughed if the situation had been any different. You slide the safety back, aim, and hit the button. It's very simple.
Would you have used it on me?
I didn't, so clearly the answer is no. When he rotated it and stared at it in horrified fascination, she grabbed it from him.
Never aim it at yourself.
After plopping it in her purse, she crossed her arms and said, As you can see, I have the situation under control, but I appreciate your concern. The thought of perusing the escort ads again made her grind her teeth. None of those men interested her anymore. Once her mind was made up, it was made up. The only one she wanted was Michael, but she'd botched things so badly, he couldn't stand to see her again. How was she supposed to get better if her problem kept driving away the people who could help her? Her bitterness must have shown, because his expression softened.
Stella, I don't do repeat sessions. Otherwise, I'd take you up on your offer.
Why? She asked on a frustrated exhalation.
I used to do it in the past. A client got attached and things blew out of control. The single session policy has saved me and my clients a lot of grief.
You mean you knew ahead of time you weren't going to accept? Blackness threatened to spill over and stain her insides. She thought he was a potential solution to her problem. Now, it looked like it had been nothing but a one-night stand from the start. He nodded curtly. Why did you stay last night, then? I was upfront with you about what I wanted. All of the kissing and touching, my clothes. I did that for nothing. Her throat swelled so much that near the end, she could barely force the words out. She pressed hot palms to her forehead, trying to deal with this betrayed feeling. The pain and shame were so unexpected. She had trouble breathing. Why had he made her do those things? Had it been a game? Had he thought it was funny? How come she never understood people?
I honestly didn't believe you, he said. At most, I thought you had a confidence problem that would go away after we were together. Besides, you paid in advance. I wanted you to get your money's worth.
You wanted to show me a good time.
Well, yeah. That's why people hire me.
But that's not why I hired you. She rubbed the bridge of her nose and righted her glasses, suddenly hollowed out and exhausted. It doesn't matter. You should get going, or you'll be late. As if from a distance, she was aware of her feet bringing her to the door and her palm gripping the handle, pulling it open. He took a breath as if he meant to speak, but ended up shutting his mouth before he could say anything. He swept past her and paused on the other side of the doorway, considering her.
I'm sorry to leave with things like this. Be safe, okay?
She looked away from him and nodded.
Goodbye, Stella.
He padded down the hall and she shut the door. The locks engaged with a final click. She should shower. She'd basically slept in her sweat last night, but when she touched her clothes, she realized she was wearing Michael's shirt. She pressed her cheek to her shoulder and inhaled his scent. After sniffing her arms and hair, she discovered it was all over her. What did she do now? Her body itched with the need to wash, but if she showered, that precious smell would be gone, and there wasn't ever going to be any more of it. This was it. She sank to the floor and hugged her knees to her chest to keep the loneliness at bay. She ached so badly to be held, it felt like a sickness had invaded her muscles and bones. As usual, her own arms provided little comfort. She'd give herself 5 minutes, and then she'd get ready for work. It was only Saturday morning, and she'd already had more weekend than she could handle. If she didn't find a way to occupy her mind, She'd spiral into something dark and bleak. Was already spiraling. Three quick knocks rapped on the door, and she stood up mechanically. It was probably house cleaning, checking to see if she'd left yet. She opened the door, and Michael stared back at her with an intense gaze. His chest labored like he'd sprinted the entire way back from his car. "Three sessions. That's the most I'll do," he said. It took her a moment to understand that by sessions, he meant lessons. But when she did, her heart sprinted so fast, her fingers went numb. He was going to help her. Could three lessons possibly be enough to perfect sex? There was so much she had to learn, so much she was bad at. But what choice did she have? Maybe if they planned everything out very carefully. With her limbs frozen in shock, all she could manage to say was, "Okay." He considered her, the muscles of his jaw taut. "If we do this thing, you have to promise not to go crazy when it ends."
"I can promise that," she said through the roaring in her ears.
"I mean it. No stalking, no calling, no outrageous gifts. None of that."
His fingers were tight around the strap of his bag as he awaited her response, and his expression was dead serious.
"Okay."
He unlooped the bag from his shoulders and let it fall to the ground before he stepped toward her, not stopping until her back was pressed against the open door. He flattened a hand on the door next to her face and leaned down. His gaze dropped from her eyes to her lips.
"I'm going to kiss you now."
"Okay." He'd shaken her brain into malfunctioning, and apparently that was all she could say now. He touched his lips to hers, and pleasure jolted to her heart, down her arms, down her legs. Tilting his head, he kissed her deeper, once, twice, again, until she sighed and leaned into him, tangled her fingers in his cool hair. He clanged her mouth with his tongue in a way that was new and familiar at once. She kissed him back with everything in her, trying to tell him all the things she wasn't articulate enough to say.
"God, Stella,"
he rasped against her lips, his dark eyes dazed and heavy-lidded.
"You learn that fast."
Before she could respond, he took her mouth again. She forgot about the time, forgot about work, even forgot about her anxiety. His large body rubbed against hers, and she arched into him, reveling in his closeness. Her phone buzzed with her mother's ringtone. Michael tore away at once, flushed and breathing heavily. He sucked his bottom lip into his mouth as he stared deep into her eyes, looking like he was 2 seconds away from kissing her again.
"I should get that."
She slipped inside, sat on the edge of the bed, and pressed the talk button on her phone with a shaky thumb.
"Hello? Stella, dear, your father's..." "Oh, hold on a second."
Her father's deep voice rumbled on the other end, and Stella held the phone away from her ear as her parents discussed golf and lunch plans. Michael approached her with a fluid-limbed gait.
"I need to go, but we're on for next Friday."
"Next Friday," she confirmed with a nod. Instead of leaving immediately as she expected, he leaned down and brushed a fleeting kiss to her mouth.
"Goodbye, Stella."
She watched his departure in a dazed state. They were meeting again. In a week.
Who was that?
Even with the phone several inches from her ear, Stella could hear her mother's surprise.
"That was... Michael."
A breathless kind of nervousness filled her. She might like it that her mother had discovered her male visitor. A brief silence ensued, followed by,
"Stella, dear, did you spend the night with a man?"
"It's not what you think. We didn't do anything, other than kissing. The best kissing of Stella's life."
"Well, why ever not?"
Stella's mouth worked without issuing words.
"You're a mature adult. You make good choices. Now, tell me all about this Michael."
Chapter 6. Destroy, defeat, deceive. Michael scanned his partner's black-clad form for weaknesses he could exploit. Right now, during the heat of the match,
was the only time he gave free rein to the base, selfish instincts he battled daily. And it felt so fucking good. No matter how hard he fought against it, at his core, he was just like his dad. The badness had been passed down in his blood. He shoved and went for a headshot. When his partner's sword rose to block the strike, Michael pushed for that extra burst of speed and arched his weapon down. The tip of his sword cracked against his partner's side. Clean point. Match over. Everyone bowed and set their swords on the blue matted floor before kneeling. Michael hated this part of class, not because it meant practice was ending, but because it was time to remove his armor and return to his normal self. This was the beauty of apparel. A suit transformed you into a certain kind of person. A t-shirt, a different kind of person. Black nightmare armor that hid your face behind an ominous metal cage, yet a different kind of person. The gear weighed 30 pounds, but he always felt lighter when he wore it. As he shed layers, cold air touched his skin, and reality crept back into his head. Heavy thoughts stacked one upon the other like bricks, returning him to his regular burdened state. Responsibilities and obligations. Bills, family, his day job, his night job. After class officially ended, he put his gear in its place on the shelf along the back wall. Space was tight as fuck with 5 guys in the cramped changing room, and he didn't feel like waiting around, so he slipped his uniform off in the hallway. Nothing half the women in California hadn't already seen. 2 high school girls giggled and hurried into the women's room, and he rolled his eyes as he yanked a pair of jeans over his boxer briefs. Michael Larson, now serving half the women in California, plus 2.
"We're probably going to have a bunch of new girl members next week now," said a voice Michael recognized as belonging to Quan, Michael's cousin and sparring partner. "I'll let you teach them their strikes," Michael said, as he retrieved a wrinkled t-shirt from his duffel bag and straightened. "They might be disappointed. Whatever."
He yanked his shirt on, trying and failing to ignore their contrasting reflections in the full-length mirror hanging on the wall. Lots of girls went for Quan. With his buzzed head and the dense tattoos covering his arms and neck, he rocked that badass Asian drug lord image. You wouldn't guess he was paying his way through business school while helping his parents at their restaurant. Michael, on the other hand, was a pretty boy. It wasn't a bad problem to have. It was paying the bills, after all. But people's responses got boring. Well, except for a certain economist someone's response. Stella's attraction to him had been obvious, but she hadn't looked at him like he was an expensive cut of meat. She looked at him like she saw no one else. He couldn't forget the way she'd kissed him once he'd earned her trust. The way she'd melted and... When Michael caught the direction of his thoughts, he mentally punched himself in the dick. She was his client, and she had issues. It was fucked up to think of their sessions like this.
"If we have new students, I'll teach them. I don't mind,"
Kai, Quan's younger brother, offered. He still wore his uniform and practiced running strikes in front of the mirror, his pace fast but steady, like a machine. Quan rolled his eyes.
"He never minds, even when they throw themselves at him. You should have seen the last one. She asked him out to dinner and he said, 'No thanks, I already ate.' 'Dessert then? No, I don't eat dessert after class. Coffee? That will keep me up and I have work tomorrow.'"
Michael couldn't help smiling at that. Kai reminded him a little of Stella. As Quan shoved both of their weapons into a nearby storage box, he said,
"Nice match. Bad day?"
Michael shrugged. "Just the same." He should be grateful. He was grateful. Everything would be fine if he could stop wanting all the things he'd given up. He didn't regret exchanging his old life for this one. He'd do it again. But at the same time, this wanting wouldn't stop. If anything, it was getting worse, because he was a selfish bastard, like his dad.
"How's your mom doing?"
He raked a hand through his hair.
"Good, I guess. She says she likes her new meds." "That's good, man."
Quan squeezed his shoulder.
"You should celebrate. Come out with me on Friday. There's this new club in SF called 212 Fahrenheit.
That actually sounded nice, and a rush of excitement burned over him. He hadn't been out without a client in forever. The reminder of clients had him exhaling a heavy breath.
Can't. I have something.
What?
Quan's eyes turned assessing. Or do you mean who?
You're always busy Fridays. Do you have a secret girlfriend you're scared of introducing to everyone?
He snorted inwardly at the idea of taking a client to meet his family.
Never going to happen.
Nah, no girlfriend.
You?
Quan laughed.
You know my mom. Do you think I'd subject a girl to that?
Grinning, Michael picked up his bag and headed for the studio's front door, passing Kai, who hadn't stopped with his practice or slowed down this entire time.
Look on the bright side. If a girl meets your mom and doesn't run, you'll know you found a keeper.
As Quan followed him, he said,
No, then I'll have two scary-ass women in my life instead of one.
They both waved at Kai from the doorway, but, as usual, he was too focused to wave back. Out in the parking lot, Quan climbed onto his black Ducati, shrugged into his motorcycle jacket, and propped his helmet on his knee before giving Michael a direct look.
You know I don't give a shit if you're into guys, right? Like, I'd be okay with that, just so you know. You don't have to hide stuff like that from me.
Michael coughed and adjusted the position of his duffel bag strap on his shoulder as an uncomfortable wave of heat boiled up his neck and singed his ears.
Thanks.
This was what happened when you kept secrets. People drew their own conclusions. He wondered briefly if he should just roll with it. There was no doubt in his mind his family would take that better than the truth. They didn't know about his escorting or the bills that necessitated the escorting. He planned to keep it that way. He took a breath of air that smelled like exhaust fumes and blacktop, feeling touched by Quan's acceptance, but also old and tired in his bones.
It means a lot to hear you say that, but I'm not, okay? I've just been seeing lots of people. No one I'd bring home, though.
God, no.
No one special.
As soon as that last comment came out, however, he wanted to retract it. He didn't know why, but it didn't feel right to lump his last client in that category.
Do me a favor and tell your mom and sisters, then. They've been gossiping about it with my mom and sister, and they keep asking me for the inside scoop. I'm going to be honest and say it was a little embarrassing telling them I have no idea what you do when you disappear.
Quan kicked at a pebble on the ground, his face pensive, and Michael knew he was thinking back to times when they'd known everything about each other. Well, as much as guys ever told one another. Their moms were close sisters, who had purchased homes two blocks apart and given birth to boys in the same year. As a result, Michael and Quan were closer than brothers. They used to be, anyway. Michael rubbed the back of his neck.
I've been a crappy friend. I'm sorry. You went through all that shit.
Quan gave him an understanding smile.
First with your asshole dad and the lawsuits, and then with your mom's health. I get it. But things are better now, right? We should do stuff. Friday nights are best for me because I don't have work or class Saturday mornings. Your no one special can hang with mine. Let me know.
With that, Quan started his bike and pulled his helmet over his head. After his cousin disappeared around the corner, Michael opened his car door and tossed his bag into the passenger seat. Things were a lot better now, but he wouldn't be double dating with Quan anytime soon. Not when he was fucking a different woman every Friday night. Well, not the next three Friday nights. Those were for Stella and sex lessons. He'd never expected to have the opposite role in his hot-for-teacher fantasy, but he admitted it excited him more than he would have thought. He knew it was messed up, but Friday night couldn't come fast enough. Chapter 7 By the time Friday night rolled around, Stella was a jittery mess. She couldn't stop her fingers from drumming on the restaurant table as she waited for Michael to arrive. She'd arranged the appointment through the agency's mobile app. With the state-of-the-art setup, it was as easy as booking airline tickets, but without the frequent flyer miles.
They'd sent a confirmation email, but that was the only indication she'd gotten that the date was still on. She couldn't help worrying that Michael had changed his mind. She wished she had his cell phone number, but she figured he never gave that to his clients. It was too personal, especially if his clients had the tendency to get obsessed, which was actually one of her main weaknesses, and a defining characteristic of her disorder. She didn't know how to be semi-interested in something. She was either indifferent or obsessed, and her obsessions weren't passing things. They consumed her and became a part of her. She kept them close, wove them into her very life, just like her work. Going forward with Michael, she had to tread carefully. Everything about him pleased her, not just his looks, but his patience and his kindness. He was good. He was an obsession waiting to happen. Hopefully, she could keep a cool head during the coming weeks. Perhaps it was for the best there were only 3 sessions. Once they were finished, she'd focus on someone she could actually have, like maybe Philip James. When Michael entered the hotel restaurant, she noticed right away. Tonight he wore a perfectly fitted black suit over a white Oxford shirt, no tie. His collar hung open, drawing attention to his Adam's apple and the sexy base of his throat. His gaze swept over the room and landed on her. She looked down at the menu without seeing it, horribly aware of his slow advance toward her. Keep a cool head. Hello, Stella. He sat down across from her and folded his hands on the tabletop. Her lungs drew in a slow breath, and she caught his light scent. Everything inside her turned over and sighed. With a sense of defeat, she lifted her eyes to his, counted to 3, and looked away. Hello, Michael.
Are you nervous already?
She laughed slightly. I've been nervous since Saturday.
About that. Who was that on the phone when I left?
Her lips tightened as she tried to suppress a smile. It was my mom. Her name is Anne. She thinks you're my boyfriend now, by the way. He pressed a knuckle to his grinning lips.
I see. Will that be a problem?
Actually, I think it's a good thing. Now that she thinks I have a boyfriend, she should stop trying to arrange blind dates for me.
Ah, the mother arranged blind date. I'm very familiar with those.
Does that mean you don't have a girlfriend? As soon as the question left her mouth, she winced. I'm sorry. Forget I asked that. She had no right to inquire about his personal life, but the intense curiosity burned inside her. She wanted to know everything about him. And if he did have a girlfriend, whoever that lucky girl was, Stella hated her guts.
No, I don't have a girlfriend.
He said it like it should have been obvious. Thank God. What kind of girls does your mother try to hook you up with? He rolled his eyes.
Doctors? Who else? And nurses? By now I think my mom's tried to hook me up with the entire second floor staff at the Palo Alto Medical Foundation.
Stella couldn't help being impressed. That's really determined.
That's nothing. You don't know my mom.
She forced a smile and focused on the menu. What did it say about her that she wanted to know his mom? No, wait. She knew the answer to that. It said she was nuts. Mothers were scary she-bears when it came to their sons, especially sons like Michael. And Stella wasn't a doctor. Enough of this. She wasn't dating Michael. It didn't matter what his mother thought of her. Stella was never going to meet the woman. She needed to get back to the matter at hand. Let's discuss my lessons, she said briskly.
That's a good idea.
Michael leaned back in his chair, looking at ease. Stella tried to copy his relaxed air as she retrieved 3 folded sheets of paper from her purse. Because we're pressed for time, I took the liberty of drawing up lesson plans. They're not set in stone. In fact, please suggest changes where you see fit. I have no idea if what I've written is feasible, but it helps me to keep things structured. I don't deal well with surprises. Michael's expression went unreadable.
Lesson plans.
Exactly. She pushed the salt and pepper shakers and candle aside. After placing her papers in the middle of the table, she smoothed the creases out with her fingertips and pointed at the first sheet, which was labeled Lesson one. I put boxes next to each item so we can check things off as we go. Eyes on the paper, he opened his mouth to speak, caught his breath, and tapped a finger to his lips. Give me a moment. Lesson one. Hand job lecture and demonstration. Hand job practice. Performance review. Missionary intercourse lecture and demonstration. Missionary intercourse practice. Performance review. Michael read and reread the clinical lesson plan, and surprise melted into amusement, which then dissipated as frustration crept over his back and up his neck. He curled his fingers and restrained the sudden urge to crumple Stella's papers into ugly balls. Irritated. He was irritated. Fuck if he knew why. With words like lecture and demonstration involved, he should be getting off on this. It was exactly like having the teacher role in Hot for Teacher, except there was no hot for part. Who's going to check the boxes? You or me? I can if you don't want to, she offered with a helpful smile. A picture of her pausing in the middle of sex to put her glasses on and scribble notes on a legal pad flashed in Michael's head, like he was a sex bot or a fucking science experiment. I notice there's no kissing, he said. I was under the impression we'd moved beyond that. His eyebrows twitched. How's that? You said I'd picked it up, so it's best not to waste time on it. Kissing you makes it hard for me to think, and I really want to get this right. Beyond that, it feels like something people do when they're dating, which we're not. I want things to stay clear and professional between us. She took a prim sip of ice water and set the glass down, leaving a sheen of moisture on her pink lips. Lips he wasn't allowed to kiss. Her kisses weren't for him anymore. He was supposed to fuck her and let her jerk him off, but she was saving those soft lips for someone else. The thought made him almost violent, and he shoved his feelings down deep.
You've watched Pretty Woman too many times. Kissing doesn't mean anything. And it's always best if you're not thinking too much in bed. Trust me, he said.
Her mouth thinned into a stubborn line. This is too important for me not to think. I'd rather not kiss anymore, if you don't mind. Michael's irritation redoubled, and he forced his hands to relax before he popped all his blood vessels. How the hell had he gotten himself into this? Ah, yes. He'd been worried about his escort colleagues taking advantage of her. Stupid of him. His life was complicated enough without worrying about his clients. This was exactly why he had the one-session policy. He would have backed out. It was tempting, but he'd promised. He always carried through on his promises. It was his way of balancing out the universe. His dad had broken enough promises for the both of them.
All right. He made himself say. No kissing.
Do the other plans look okay? She asked. He forced himself to read them and found them pretty similar, only she'd moved from hand jobs to blow jobs and changed the sexual positions. Amused, despite himself, he said,
I'm surprised you use the terms doggy style and cowgirl.
Her cheeks went bright red and she adjusted her glasses. I'm inexperienced. Not clueless.
Your plans are missing something important.
He held his hand out and she placed the pen in his palm with wary motions. She tilted her head to the side as she watched him write, foreplay, at the top of all the plans in capital letters. As an afterthought, he drew a box in front of each iteration with hard stabs of the pen. But why? I was under the impression men don't need it.
You do.
He said flatly. She wrinkled her nose and shook her head. You don't have to bother with me. He narrowed his eyes.
It's not a bother. Most men like foreplay. I do. Getting a woman hot is satisfying as hell.
Besides, he was not having sex with her if she wasn't ready. No fucking way. Swallowing, she stared down at the menu. So you're saying I don't have a chance to improve?
What?
No. His mind scrambled to figure out why she might say that, and came up with nothing. You saw how I reacted. It was one button.
And then you slept with me all night. You were basically naked. And you cling.
Are you two ready to order? The waitress interjected. Judging by the amused glimmer in her eyes, she'd caught the last part of their conversation. Stella perused the dinner options, her nails picking at the fabric edging of the menu.
We'll have the special, Michael said.
Wise choice. I'll leave you to it. The waitress winked, gathered the menus, and disappeared. What's the special? Stella asked.
I've no idea. Let's hope it's not woolly.
A troubled frown bracketed her mouth, and she leaned forward hesitantly, meeting his eyes for the briefest second. What exactly do you mean by cling? Michael grinned.
It means you like to cuddle when you're asleep.
Oh. She looked so horrified Michael couldn't help laughing.
I confess to liking it.
Which was the truth, and unlike him. Cuddling was an obligatory thing he did for his clients, because he understood they needed it. He usually spent the time counting the seconds until he could leave and go home to shower. Holding Stella had been nothing like that. They hadn't had sex, so there'd been nothing to wash away. And the trusting way she'd curled into him had made him feel things he didn't want to think about, especially when she found it so distasteful. His irritation increased even further. Where does this leave us with regard to the lessons? How do we proceed when my limitations are such big roadblocks? By focusing on you, I thought I'd found a way around my problems.
We're not going to go around your problems. We're going to go through them.
She crossed her arms and tapped out an unusual rhythm with her fingertips on her elbow. How?
We're going to unlock you.
That made him sound like an arrogant jackass, but he hadn't gotten those 5-star reviews by luck alone. When he'd lost his virginity at the ripe age of 18, he'd discovered he had a natural talent for fucking. Going pro had taken his skills to a whole new level. I don't think that's possible. She slanted her lips like she was listening to a used car salesman.
Did you think you'd like kissing?
And she had liked it, once she'd gotten over the pilot fish thing. There was hope for her. Girls didn't do that weak-in-the-knees, fainting heroin stuff when they weren't into sex. He just had to figure her out. She tapped one of the foreplay boxes. What happens if you try everything, and I don't like it? We're under a pretty extreme time constraint.
I don't think it'll come to that.
But if it did, they'd deal with it then. After a long stretch of silence, she said, Let's try it your way, then.
Chapter 8 Once the hotel door shut behind them, Michael towed off his shoes and ambled to the windows. He opened the drapes and was presented with a fine view of the medical building next door, the Palo Alto Medical Foundation. It reminded him of his mom, bills, responsibilities, and escorting commissions. Not really what he wanted to think about right now. He yanked the drapes shut and turned around, locating Stella standing at the foot of the bed. She looked away from him and fiddled with the folded sheets of paper in her hands. Her lesson plans. He imagined himself shredding them into confetti. He couldn't explain it, but he detested those lists. Instead of acting on the fantasy, he approached her, took the papers, and set them carefully on the nightstand. He found a narrow silver pen in the nightstand's drawer and put it on top of lesson one. If she was clear-headed enough to check boxes tonight, he needed to analyze his technique. He dimmed the bedside lights. How should I? What should I? Maybe I... She gripped the collar of her shirt. Should I undress?
I don't know. It's not in the lesson plan.
Once the words were out, he wanted to take them back. Her lists annoyed the hell out of him. But he didn't need to belittle her.
I'm sorry.
You're right. I didn't think to include that. She hurried past him to the nightstand. After she considered the list for a moment, she bent down and picked up the pen,
demonstrating the only reason why a woman should wear a pencil skirt, to show off the perfectly rounded curves of her fine ass. That had to be why it took so long for her cluelessness to register. She hadn't caught his rudeness or his sarcasm. Maybe she was one of those book-smart people who didn't know how to socialize, and he was being too hard on her.
If I told you your lesson plans are insulting, what would you do?
He asked quietly. She looked at him over her shoulder with alarmed eyes. Are there parts I should reword? I'd be happy to change things. She turned back to the lesson plan and skimmed her fingers over the lines at a thoughtful pace. The ball of irritation in his chest loosened. He couldn't be annoyed with her when she didn't understand. She worried the inside of her lip and tapped her fingers on the table with increasing speed before sending him an anxious look. Should I have written something other than performance review? I hope you know when I wrote that I meant my performance. There's nothing wrong with your performance. Even if there were, I wouldn't know. I'm not qualified in any way to judge. Before she could work herself into another panic attack, he said,
It was just a hypothetical question. Forget about it.
She seemed confused for a second, but she blinked the look away and released a relieved breath. Oh, okay. After adjusting her glasses, she turned back to her papers and neatly wrote, Stella's, in front of each iteration of performance review. That was a good reminder. This was about helping with Stella's performance. That was it. So what if she wasn't viewing this as the fulfillment of secret fantasies like his other clients did? He needed to take his own advice and stop thinking. When she flipped to the second page in the pile, he shrugged out of his jacket, draped it over the arm of a chair, and unbuttoned his shirt. Tugging the tails free, he sat on the bed next to Stella. She snuck a quick glance at him, and her gaze dropped to the portion of skin revealed by his open shirt. The pen paused in mid-scrawl, clattered to the tabletop. He smiled with satisfaction. Not so clinical now. She squared her shoulders before she lifted her hands to her collar. Buttons came undone at a painstaking pace, and white fabric fluttered to the floor, followed by her gray skirt. The set of her jaw was determined as she let him look at her. And look he did. He usually preferred women with bigger breasts, lusher hips, and rounded thighs. He liked their softness, the way they filled his hands. That was not Stella. Everything about her was modest. Wearing only a flesh-toned bra and panties, her petite body was composed of elegant shoulders and arms, a little waist that flared to gently curved hips, and shapely legs with delicate ankles. She wasn't what he'd thought he'd always wanted, but she was perfect.
Take your bra off.
His voice came out rougher than he intended, but he couldn't help it. He was dying to see the rest of her. She might not have fantasized about their time together, but he had. Down at her sides, her hands fisted. Is that necessary? They're not my best feature. They're small.
Yes, it's necessary. Men like to see them even when they're small.
And touch them. God, he wanted to touch them. She grimaced, looking like she wanted to argue with him. When she reached behind herself and slid her bra off, he caught his breath. Then he bit his lip as he grinned. Stella didn't seem to know it, but she had the kind of nipples men and babies dreamed about. Rosy-tinted areolas gave way to extravagantly protruding tips that, no question about it, had to stay pointed 24/7, hot or cold, rain or shine. Stella Lane, conservative economist, had porn star nipples, and he wanted them in his mouth.
What now? She asked in a near whisper. He slipped his shirt off and tossed it on the far side of the bed.
I think you get to check a box.
She peeled her eyes from his chest and stared at him like he'd spoken another language. After several hard blinks, she shook her head and said, Right. Leaning over, she checked a box at the top of the list. She adjusted her glasses
and paused. The glasses came off and she pulled the tie from her hair and shook out the mass so it framed her face. Vulnerable brown eyes searched his before she focused on the wall to the side. The air seeped from his lungs as his internal organs melted and the rest of him hardened. So gorgeous.